WHCR 90.3 FM, New York.
This is Kia Rogers, and you're listening to Urbanology with my dad, Tony Rogers, on WHCR 90.3 FM, New York.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Tony Rogers, your host for Urbanology Systems, The Art of War. I hope all is well. And based on all of the things that are happening, I need to clarify, The Art of War is based on an ancient text by Master Sun Tzu. And it is a book of strategy. And it came about because my name is William Anthony Rogers. So I know, we're trying to take over all of these countries, and I just wanted to make sure you understood that the art of war is peace. That was what Sun Tzu said. You know, those who understand the art of war understand how to avoid conflict. Just wanted to throw that out there. You know, we got a lot of new listeners now that we're connected, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But nevertheless, I am honored. I mean, there are two people. When I want to know about the theater, when I want to know about what's going on in the entertainment world, there are two people that I go to, Irene Gandy and Donna Walken-Kuehn. And we've been blessed to have them both work together on projects for Hollow Week in the Chamber. But Donna Walken-Kuehn, MJ, oh man, you know, she's a powerhouse. But nevertheless, don't believe me, Donna Walken-Kuehn, welcome to the show. Give the listeners a little bit of information about your background so they can understand what I'm talking about.
Certainly. And thank you so much, Tony. I really appreciate being able to participate on the program and support all the efforts you're doing to engage our communities across the world. So thank you. Thank you. So I, as you mentioned, you know, I am heavily involved in arts and culture and entertainment. This is my 45th year working.
Oh, wow. You started when you were five.
Exactly. I was barely able to.
You were barely legal 45 years ago.
Well, I'm originally from Chicago, and I grew up as a dancer and performed in a dance company on the Chicago South Side. And, you know, I loved performing and dancing, but honestly, I just didn't know any dancers who could make a living out of performing, not at that time. And so I, there was a lawyer that came to our career day at my high school. And when I heard him speak, I decided, well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a lawyer because then I can help change the world. So I went to Howard University Law School, HU, and there I was able to, you know, really fine-tune my goals, my mission, and definitely recommit to doing anything I can to advance Black culture. Then I got married and moved to New York. So that's how I got to New York. And once I got here, I started working in family court prosecuting juveniles. And that work is very important, but I really miss the arts. So I went across the street. There was a performing arts organization called the Thelma Hill Performing Arts Center. And I just started doing volunteer work there on my lunch hours. But my lunch hours started to extend until 4 p.m. in the afternoon, supposed to be back from court by 2. So with the judges looking for me, I knew I had found my mission. So I resigned from and wrote a proposal and got a grant to pay myself as the managing director. And so I did that for about a year. And then I said, you know, I really want to be in ballet, because my mom had taken my sister and I to see ballet when we were really young. So I wrote a letter to Arthur Mitchell, and I told him that I could do all kinds of things. The day my letter arrived was 2 weeks before his New York season for the Dance Theater of Harlem, and tickets were not selling well. So he asked me, he called me, he said, I got your letter. Can you sell tickets? I said, yes. So I was hired. And that began 9 years working with Arthur Mitchell in the most incredible ballet company. It was just incredible. And one of the strengths that I was able to develop there was audience development, because Mr. Mitchell was very concerned that there were Black people in the audiences when we toured nationally. And at that time in the 80s, not a whole lot of Black people were going to see ballet. So I...
I said, that's true. That's true now, too, unfortunately. But
right. So I created an audience development task force, traveling in advance to the cities, building community engagement. And that really increased our revenue by 45%. And, you know, changed the landscape. So I did that. And then a lot of other things here in New York. And after 9 years, I thought, I think it's time to go someplace. But I didn't know where to go. So I got a call from George C. Wolfe, who had just arrived at the Public Theater. And so George called, left a message on my machine. I always tell people, pick up your phone. You never know who's on that other end. But George called. He said, you know, I've been at the Public Theater for 3 months, and the audiences are predominantly white. And I'd like this place to look like a subway stop. How would you do it? Shared some of my strategies with the Black community, and I knew I could do these with all the other cultural groups as well as our LGBTQ community. And so George asked me to create a new department and, you know, to help make this mission of creating an audience look like a subway stop. That was my mission every day. And so that brought me to Broadway, and that's how I started working in that industry, because we transferred a number of musicals to Broadway, including Bring in the Noise, Bring in the Funk. Mm-hmm. And I worked very closely on that production, and we'd had tremendous success, in so much so that on Broadway, you know, producers started asking me, how are you getting all these Black people in here? What are you doing? So that's when I wrote my first book, Invitation to the Party, Building Bridges to Arts, Culture, and Community, because this information belongs to the universe. So here it is. And so the Broadway engagement was so successful, we did a national tour. We went to 23 cities. And I went to all 23 cities several times to build the audience development initiative. Then, I think I want to be a mom. And we adopted my daughter. And that's when I realized you cannot do all of that and raise a child. You have to make a decision. So I left the public and decided I'll start consulting. I didn't really know what that meant. I just heard the word somewhere. But I left the public on a Friday, and that Monday I had Alvin Ailey, American Dance Theater, Bill T. Jones Dance Company, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom with Whoopi Goldberg, and Hairspray. So I had two Broadway shows. Companies. And that's how my company started, and we've just been kind of flying ever since. That was
flying ever since.
Yeah, that was 2002.
When did you connect with Harlem Week? I don't remember. You know, it's been, you know, we've been with people so long, it seemed like they were there forever. But when did you first come into the Harlem Week family?
When I was with the Dance Theater of Harlem, I connected with Harlem Week. I believe the art should be wherever people are. And so I thought, this is a perfect place for us to bring the company. So we started tabling during Harlem Week and just making ourselves available. So I've been around the chamber since 87,
88. Wow.
Definitely.
You know, it seems like we're forever, but I am just so happy You have created so many wonderful opportunities for people to have a relationship with the arts community. And now, more than ever, you know, it's extremely important. I was just at the Harlem Arts Alliance meeting, and there's a lot of stuff that's happening. It's just getting that information out to people so that they can have it. And before we get into what I want to talk to you about with some of the new things and projects that you have, I just want to kind of put out there in the airwaves is that there's work being done to create a Harlem network. And that will be a program that will be patterned after CNN. And it will be a program where groups and organizations will have a platform, a national and international local platform, just like a CNN on your phone, on your streaming TV and all of those things. And of course, when we talk about the arts, you know, I know you got a lot of things on your plate, Donna. You have to find a way to do something, maybe a show, maybe something on the arts. Volzer's retiring, so Volzer was telling me, you know, you need to start being a gatekeeper for me. Don't bring no stuff to me because I'm trying not to do anything. So I'm going to have to start leaning on you and Irene a little bit more, especially with this program, which would be something that would be very helpful. It would be a way to also devise ways to support projects, to get sponsorship, whether it's Harlem Week or what's happening in NJPAC or any other cultural things that are taking place. So I just wanted to put that in there, we'll be talking about it more, but I don't always get the ear to hear to have a Donna walking human. So whenever I get the chance, I need to take the advantage of the moment and just plant a seed there. But you have some new things that are coming up. So tell us about some of the new.
So Donna, tell us. Donna Harris.
I was going to say, Winston, you've been quiet. So go ahead, Winston.
What's the formal name of your company?
My company is called Walker International Communications Group. That's the name.
Tell our listening audience one more time now, slowly.
Sure. Walker International Communications Group.
Write that down, listeners. She's been around a long time, and a lot of people, because of her greatness as a spokesperson for our company, they know her name, but they don't know it's a group of people that are outstanding in the business, and some of which who worked with her and continue to work with her as independents is a young lady named Toni Israel,
yes,
who just recently is a member of the chamber and just recently joined on to BroadwayDirect.com, which many of you probably have seen in your arts and cultural searches. And Donna and Toni worked on a project with one of our other members, West Harlem Development Corporation, and worked out a great deal for senior citizens in Harlem and adults to get some theater in their system. And they went to see the great musical, 44, the musical.
44, yeah.
The story of Biden and Obama. It was fantastic, and I thank you, Donna, for being always.
I missed that one. I was out of the country, Donna. I got to start taking more advantage of you and Irene. I've always been passive with that. There's some new stuff that's coming out that I need to try to get to. But besides that, I know, and I was out of town when the chamber had its end of the year event. So I've been hearing about the book that you were talking about. You know, a lot of people were saying, hey, we heard about this book. And so I said, Winston, we got to have her back, you know, because I was out. I didn't get the pitch. I didn't know. So tell us about the new book you have.
Of course. strategies for engaging dynamic communities.
Wow.
And this book.
Repeat that again.
Champions for the Arts.
Champions of the Arts.
Yes, for the Arts.
Mm-hmm. For the Arts.
For the Arts. Successful strategies for engaging dynamic communities.
Okay.
And I wrote this book because I know the value of community engagement. I know the value of having a bridge from your house to places in your community that celebrate different kinds of arts and culture. So you don't have to always buy a ticket to go and see something. You should have things in our own community. And champions are people who create access to that. They're people who say, let's go over here. We're going to go watch this dance workshop. Or here's some flyers that I got from my job. Or here's a way that we can, here's a link. We can go and see this free performance. So I think I wanted to acknowledge champions for the arts because they're all over the world. People who sincerely, passionately cherish arts experiences. And so my book talks about them and highlights them. I talk a lot about the Black Women's Social Club. That's one of the most powerful vehicles we have for arts and culture in our community. Between the sororities, the Lynx, the Jack and Jills, 100 Black Women, Negro Professional Business Club, all of those clubs have one focus that they all share, and that is support of arts and culture.
Wow.
So support them. We have to really engage with them because they're going to come. And so I celebrate them. I talk about the Harlem Week in my book and some of the wonderful programs and initiatives we've been able to do with the Cuban artists, the program we did with them, Whole Foods. You know, we did some wonderful, wonderful things. So I write about it so that it becomes permanent, part of our history and legacy. So I have those kind of case studies. And my book is a how-to. So if someone were to pick it up and they'll say, well, you know, I'm active in my church. I wonder how my church can be more involved in the community. You're going to see strategies. Because I talk about my relationship with Reverend Anita Burson, who passed away several years ago. But Anita was amazing. She taught me how to work with a faith-based community.
Wow.
And how to approach them. You know, and what language to say. And out of our relationship, we developed a whole Martin Luther King Jr. program of arts and spirituality. And we would do that every January 15th, go to the churches in Harlem and bring artists. We brought opera singers from New York City Opera. They would sing Coretta Scott King's favorite aria. And the New York City Opera translated it to English. So the congregation could follow along with the words.
Wow.
We did lots of wonderful.
Oh man, and that's just those. You've forgotten more than some people have ever tried to do. So, you know, it's it's history. We're talking about developing the third Harlem Renaissance, and that will allow for us to start looking at the trailblazers for the second Harlem Renaissance. And Donna, obviously you're going to be part of that because you've done so much. But I suppose, even as Winston has mentioned, you have been able to allow people who would have never gone to a Broadway show to be able to have an opportunity to do that. And between you and Irene, actually helping make Broadway work. And what are and Irene, if you pick up the Harlem Community News, you know, Pat Stevens is now has been connected, you know, based on working with you guys. There's a Black, actually, there's a Black Broadway coming out, I believe, for Black History Month.
That's
a section.
Right.
But all of the Broadway advertising has kept the Harlem Community News going. Because we always got a full page, half page of one of the shows. Any show that has directed or stars or about the diaspora the Harlem Community News gets a little play, and I really, on behalf of Pat, I'm thanking you and Irene and everybody, you know, that have helped make that happen.
Thank you. And, you know, I try to make sure every production I'm working on purchases ads from Harlem News. You know, you can't just exist on tickets. You need money, right. Cash. And
yeah.
So I really made a point to try to get as many of those buys for her as possible, because I really cherish her publication. She has promoted many of the shows that I've worked on. And it's been great. Because people trust that. They're not necessarily going to trust an ad they see and maybe a traditional white paper because they don't know the people. But when they see it in something familiar, then it's like, oh, okay, yes, I can go to this. And that's what makes the difference.
It makes a lot of difference. I mean, I know for a fact that the ads that go out into the paper, I get calls. You know, a lot of times I get calls asking for some tickets. because people, you're right, they see that and it becomes familiar to them. Especially
exactly.
When, you know, you have the directors that are of the African diaspora, and you have the plays that talk about some of the historic things about the diaspora, and you have actors, which is why one of the best selling publications, one, because the theaters help promote it, is we have the Blacks on Broadway. And you see all of these people who, when it started, it was, you know, it wasn't that many, you know, many years ago, I think 25 years ago. And now you got about three pages of people on Broadway.
And Donna, the Chamber thanks you for always making sure that you're ahead of the marketing and promotion of your shows and other shows. Like, for instance, we are here on the radio, and hopefully from our pre-promotion, a lot of people are NJPAC right now at a roof over every head, affordable housing crisis, the free
yep.
event in the Chase Room.
That will be tomorrow. Thank you. One of my wonderful gifts that I've had over the past 14 years is working at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center, located in Newark, New Jersey. We're one of the largest performing arts centers in the country. And after the murder of George Floyd, we decided that we really wanted to be active in the social justice lane. You know, what would that look like? So we developed a film and panel series called Standing in Solidarity. And I lead that program. So for the past 6 years, we've examined social justice issues that affect people of color, LGBTQ, and women. And some of it's virtual, some of it's in person. And tomorrow, we're going to have it. It's going to be virtual, Winston, because of the weather. We changed it. So it's going to be a virtual panel on affordable housing. We have close to 600 people reserved seats for this discussion. That's how important it is.
Is it still open for people to take part?
Yes. Oh, yeah. They can go to our website and type in Standing in Solidarity. And our whole list of all the events we're doing will pop up, as well as archival videotapes of every single one we've done for the past 6 years. So
oh, that's impressive.
We want to make sure we're educating our community. That's the whole point. And to be change makers, to take control of our destiny. And these are the tools that you can use to make that happen.
And again, I bring up the Chamber, but I use, for instance, the Harlem Community News as a personal understanding example of how it's a two-way street. People can help the arts, and the arts can help people, you know, which is really important from an economic development standpoint. So your work, Donna, as I said before, it's
unmatched. Now, you were doing some teaching too, weren't you?
Oh, I still do. I've been teaching for 36 years at New York University. And don't ask me when I sleep. Don't ask that.
Yeah, I was just getting ready. Faye, boy.
But I love teaching. I come from a family of educators. My mom, my grandmother, my aunt. So it's almost instinctive for me. I'm going to be doing it anyway, so I might as well be in a formal setting. And I went to the NYU and Columbia because I wanted to make sure that these students understand what it's like to engage with people of color. You know, that's not something that is part of the curriculum. And
that's
so
true.
My courses are mandatory. You have to take my course and pass my course in order to graduate.
Wow.
So I teach about equity in the arts. I teach about inclusion in the arts with case studies, experiences, guest speakers, books. I love to read. So we have lots and lots of reading that we have to do. So I created these courses because I want to respond directly to these people are going to be arts administrators leading major cultural institutions. They're going to be producers on Broadway. Well, you better understand how to work with us and what we need. So the way to make that happen, I got to be in the room. You have to be in the room to make it happen. That's simple. I'm not a complainer. I'm a doer.
Well, you've been doing so, Donna,
one of the things I'm so proud that you did with the Chamber and Harlem Week was introduce the broader audience to mental health in theater and one of our virtual panels on that. Can you just tell our listening audience a little bit about what you're doing or what you did and what you continue to do?
Well, that's Irene and I. Irene is truly my sister friend. And so she created a series as part of Harlem Week where we would have virtual panels that involve social justice issues on Broadway, specifically as they affect Black people. So the most recent we did this past, last August, but it's available, was on mental health issues that are Black men experience on Broadway. You know, you just see these people on stage, everything is fine. But what it took to get there and what it took to sustain their mental stability, that's what we talked about. And these men, what they said, like Harry Lennox, who was in Purpose at the time, you know, what they said was they had not really talked with each other, but since this panel, they now talk monthly because they realize the value.
Yeah.
Glenn Davis was another panelist. You know, they realize the value of us sharing. How are we navigating the madness?
Mm.
And that's Tony, you know, is a part of, you know, the holistic health community. And the Chamber, through its health series this year, 2026, are going to talk about it. As Tony mentioned earlier, Boza Rivers from Greater Harlem Chamber of Commerce, and he's a king and he's a legend in arts and culture, asked us to also do more on arts and culture and mental health. And a few days, the 28th of January, we're showcasing a group led by one of our young members, Mr. Luther Islam. And we're going to talk about young adults and young people and mental health. And it's a free event. You can see it on our website, www.GreaterHarlemChamberOfCommerce. And we invite people to come out because your event actually still lives on our Harlem Week website, www.harlemweek.com, where people can see that panel. But you're right, it's a very important panel because, as you said, some people get caught up in the character and believe the actor and actress is the character. And they don't realize they're real people with everyday people's problems. And I'm glad
sometimes
you were
more than everyday people's problems, actually.
Sometimes I've heard
when you're out
hard
in the spotlight,
actors,
everybody think you got everything. So, you know,
that's
they don't
right.
You know, they, you know, what are you talking about? You're on television. Why you got a problem, you know? And that's a lonely feeling, you know?
It is.
So they say they don't have any pity. I'm not going to feel sorry for you. Look at all the money you're making. But what did you have to do to do there? What did you have to do to get there?
That's right. The price you pay is quite steep.
And you see it every day, panning itself out.
And I also.
So where can people get your book, Donna? Is it on Amazon, on the regular?
They can get it on Amazon.com. They can get it if they go to TCG. That's T as in Tom, CG.org. Mm-hmm. Those are my publishers. You know, if you don't want to support, a corporate place.
There's some stuff about Amazon. I got a whole list of places. I got to figure out where I'm going to go. They listed a whole lot of companies now that, to boycott because they spend a lot of money with Trump and ICE. And there's all the people I go to. I said, damn, Whole Foods and Target and Amazon. And I said, well, I could maybe do a couple of them, but a couple of those I might have to, I don't know whether I can, but as things get deeper, it may have to be more like that because, there is a power of the people. If people start really doing certain things, there are a few of them that I definitely will do, but I'm just
happy.
No, I was just saying yes.
Where else can we get the book?
Mm-hmm.
You can purchase it at tcg.org. T as in Tom, cg.org. Those are my publishers. And they're happy to ship the book over to anyone who wants it.
Okay, sounds great.
tcg.org.
TCG. That stands for Theater Communications Group.
Okay. And what are some of your arts and culture plans for this upcoming Harlem Week?
So we have the Whitney Museum. It is participated in Harlem Week, not last year, but the year before. And
yeah, I remember.
They were astounded at the kind of participation and engagement. This is when they had the Edges of Ailey art exhibition. People just could not get enough. They gave away bags and all kinds of wonderful gifts. So they'll be back this year as well. We have the Whitney Biennial coming up, which is their, every 2 years, a massive exhibition that features all kinds of different artists. But they have free admission on Friday nights and on the second Sunday of every month. And the goal is for us to get as many people there as possible on these free days. Sundays are for families, come right after church if you like, the second Sunday of every month, free admission.
Give the address, Donna, for those who may not know.
Oh, hold on, I have to look it up myself. and then free Friday night is like a party. That's when you come in, it's free. They have DJs, they have programs. We carry on then. That's just like fun.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's great you're bringing that back.
Yes.
Free Fridays.
So the address of the Whitney Museum, it's right off of 14th Street, down there, 8th Avenue.
Right.
So the and this is an odd street. It's not a street that most people are familiar with.
It is a strange street. I remember going to one of the events, and if you don't know where you're going, you can get misdirected.
Exactly.
And actually, I know where it is, but I it would be hard for me to tell somebody how to get there.
But you can
always Google it. Yeah.
Yes, but it's 99 Gansenvoort. That's GANSE, Z as in Victor, OORT. 99 Gansenvoort Street.
Yeah. So
You're walking down around 14th Street and ask about Gansevoort Street, and people look at you like you're speaking another language. What? They don't know what you're talking about.
Across the street from Hudson Yards.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's in the same block as the High Line.
I mean, it's a nice area.
Yeah,
you know,
so some people are still familiar
if you're familiar with it, but if you coming from Jersey or coming from Harlem, you know. But that's
well, Donna is our bridge
that's
from Jersey to Harlem.
I was just getting ready to say that's why we needed to have a. You spoke. Listen, you took the words out of my mouth. That's why we needed to have a Donna walking through to give us that direction and understanding. You know.
That's right.
And if you guys sit and get a pencil to copy all that down, you can call Winston at the Great Harlem Chamber of Commerce, you know, and say you was listening, but you couldn't spell the name of the street.
You know? Right.
So call Winston.
Go to my website, and they can send me an email from my website.
And give your website again, Donna.
It's Walker. Let's see, what's my website address here. WalkerCommunicationsGroup.com.
Walker, W-A-L-K-E-R,
CommunicationsGroup.com. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, again, those are, and before we end, we're going to have you repeat all of that because, you know, people come in at all different times, even though hopefully many of our listeners never had to go out today and are listening at home, but
right.
The bottom line is that we'll do it again. But besides that, any other plans for 2026? Any projects that you're working on, or are you doing any more book signings, or what's happening on your personal journey?
The book signings. My goal is to have a book signing in every state. In America.
Wow.
So I will be in 50 states. So next month, I'll be at the Harlem Fine Arts Show. I'll be doing a book signing on Sunday, February 22nd. I'll be there.
The 22nd is going to be an interesting time. They're doing a special thing for Lord Williams, a special tribute.
I wanted to be there at that same time. Lloyd has such a tremendous impact on my life. You know, what an incredible person. He deserved to just rest because his life was huge. Just my experience with goodness, the same with everyone else. You know, Lloyd, his intelligence was so marked, slick.
Well, we started together in an organization called Blafrica Promotion. And we used to travel and do all kinds of things. And Blafrica Promotion really was a foundation that we brought when Hope Stevens, you know, Lloyd and I were the two individuals, ground troops that Hope Stevens had when he became the first Black president of the Uptown Chamber of Commerce. Lloyd was recommended by Percy Sutton because Percy Sutton was the legal attorney for Malcolm X, and it was Lloyd's godfather. And when Hope became the first Black president of the chamber, he needed some help, and Percy said, "Well, I got a young man that I think will be a good help for you." At that time, I was at City College. I was actually going to law school. At least that's what I thought I was going to do. And and Hayward Mearns, who did you know Hayward? Hayward
no.
was the first Black dean when CUNY developed this law school. He was the first Black dean of the CUNY Law School. And I was the president of Black Pre-Law Society, Government Law Society, and all of that. And I had been in the Panther Party. That's how I knew him. So he says, Tony, listen, you need to go help Hope R. Stevens. That's my mentor. And he's the chamber is a major entity. So I want you to be an intern there. So I was an intern. He sent me to Hope. And it was Hope, Lord, and I. Hope took Lord and I to St. Kitts. And we were on the beach. It was like, you know, listen to the, you know, like Plato, you know, somebody and telling us what he envisioned the chamber to be. It was the Uptown Chamber of Commerce then. But that's how far we go back.
Wow. Wow, wow.
So, Donna, please, once again, give us your contact information and your website so folks can stay up with you.
I would love to hear from them. My website is Walker Communications with an S, COMMUNICATIONS group.com.
And Donna, if we go to your website, we can also get information about your book, or is there another address we should?
That's on the home page, the book.
Okay. All right.
Right there on the page. Lots of information, schedules, how to contact me. Try to make it easy.
Hopefully you'll do some more book signings around some of the chamber events or the Harlem Tourism Board events so people, you know, it's nothing like having an autograph of a legend, you know.
Show up. I'll be there.
Yeah, so we'll have to, you know, we have to do that, Winston, you know, at some point.
As busy as Donna is, I always can squeeze in. She'll allow me to squeeze into her schedule and say Happy New Year to your wonderful daughter. We appreciate her.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
And we'll be talking to you soon, especially during Black History Month.
Yes.
Of course. Yeah. And you know something, Donna? There probably will be some. I'm sure Winston is already putting something together. You know, the chamber is the busiest chamber, you know, in the country. So I know either there'll be an event or Winston and the rest of the guys will partner with something. But March, you know, March is the 100th anniversary of the Savoy. So we're looking at trying to do some things. I'm talking with Robin Bell and Rosa Rivers to try to have some sort of a celebration with the Harlem Swing Dance Association. We're just raising some funds. I blocked off the Renaissance for that, and that'd be a Chamber Harlem Tourism Board activity. The Savoy was the beginning of all, you know, actually, the 100 years ago is when really the first Harlem Renaissance started at that time. That was when Harlem became really known for having a large population of Africans who were born in America. That's my new term now. I call African American is not the way we want to be. We want to be Africans born in America or African. You know, that's one of my goals.
I love it. Well, please let me know the next trip to Ghana because it's on my list. I must
always go. December. We always do it in December. We have to get the dates, but every December. But the way things are going, we're probably going to start doing some additional things because a lot of people want to start doing some business trips and to see it. And Ghana is so big that you can't, you know, and the North, most people have never gone to the North. So that's a whole nother story. But I will, that's one of my tasks as being a chief is to bring the diaspora, you know, home. So, you know, we'll be doing that. And I have land, so I'm building on it and I'm going to have a place for you to stay, hopefully. If things go well in time, so that's the plan. You know, that'll be my second home. Yeah.
Woo! Help me in. I love it.
Dual citizenship.
So thank you again, Donna. We appreciate you, and we'll speak with you soon.
And okay, I'll give you a call about a couple of things down there, too, that the Tourism Board is doing that hopefully we can do some partnership with, as well as the Tourism and Hospitality Committee of the Chamber. Okay.
I would love that. Also, can you send me the link? Because then I can post it on my website and send it in my newsletter. I send out a newsletter every month, the first of every month. So I'll put it in my February 1st newsletter.
The link for?
The radio, for this interview.
Oh, yeah. I'll send you a copy as soon as I get it. As soon as I get it, it takes a bit of time, especially now because of the snow. But I will definitely send you a copy as soon as I get it, maybe before the end of the week, okay?
Great, because I'll put it out.
I'll definitely do that. And thank you so much for all of the years and all of the things that you've done, Donna. You have truly been, you know, one of the major figures that would be talked about building the second Harlem Renaissance. And thank you.
Thank you. More to come. Thank you.
That's the good thing about it. The best is yet to come.
Thank you,
Donna.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And Tony, that's just the beginning of the arts and culture that folks are going to be hearing tonight, because we also have one of our members, Impact Repertory Theater, who is actually auditioning for new members of this group, which many people may know, or if they don't know, they were Oscar nominated and Grammy nominated for music that they put together for a film some time back called August Rush.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking for some more wonderful people to be involved in the group, young people, basically from 10 to 17. And I say basically because just last week, one of their youngsters under 10 years old, I believe she's 7, just got a job. And I think she's going to make $150 for performing and acting in a project. So they have put together 39 years, of work led by, you know, one of your partners, formerly of the Black Panthers, Jamal Joseph, and also founded by Mr. Boza Rivers and Harry Belafonte, who recently passed away. All giants in film. Plays and musicals.
And you can't say enough about them. And they actually had their first boot camp programs at City College when I was there. And I know that Aaron Davis Hall will be renovated, but they also have a residency with Aaron Davis Hall. So they have come a long way.
Absolutely.
So it's always a pleasure to talk about them. But then they have spinoffs, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you become big, you know, then they have spinoffs, you know? So we got the Harlem Bombs out there, you know? Luther is doing a lot of great work himself.
Right. This week, as I mentioned, this Thursday, he'll have a great spoken word component that deals with mental health and health for young adults. And that'll be Thursday. You can get that information on the Chamber website, www.greaterharlemchamber.com. And Impact will also be working on a CBS special during Black History Month, as well as they'll be doing a special program that they do annually with the theme being about Martin Luther King and his relationship with the Jewish community. So you can find
That's
all of that on the Chamber website, and they've been doing that annually. And the Pfizer Chemical Corporation has asked them to also perform for Black History Month later in February, the 26th of February. So again, you can find that information on our website and see about the wonderful work that Impact Repertory Theater is doing. So we applaud them. And as you had mentioned, two of our great legends in arts and culture, Mr. Boza Rivers he is working with Miss Irene Gandy, the only Black publicist on Broadway, if you can imagine that, with the many people who have come through Broadway. She's the only
with
Black
four
publicist.
Emmys.
With four Emmys, exactly. Or four Tonys, rather.
Tonys, and, I mean, not Emmys.
And they're combined to do a reading legacy series. And of course, Tony, our wonderful City College of New York is host of that, and that'll be taking place on their campus, and you can find out about that on our website.
It was supposed to be today, but it's been moved back.
Right, the 1st of February.
Yeah.
And I believe they're doing the 3rd. The 3rd is going to be pretty popular, as we just got a call today from the Department of Youth and Community Development, a New York City agency, and it's inviting the public to sign up to be a part of their series of workshops, as they have many, many grants for youth and development and opportunities for arts and culture and CBOs, community-based organizations, to get grants to help young people. So February 3rd is going to be pretty busy. But again, on our website, you can find out more. And of course, by joining the Greater Harlem Chamber of Commerce, you find out about even more information that our members and partners are doing. So we encourage you to go to greaterharlemchamber.com and find out how you can be a chamber member and get the early scoop on a lot of the events and activities that are going to be taking place this year, especially as we finish out January and we go into February Black History Month. I've already started, Tony, on getting my legs warmed up and exercising to be a part of our member, the New York Roadrunners Virtual Black History Month 5K. So that's going to start on February 1st, and it's going to be 28 miles. So every day you can run a mile after you sign up for it at nyrr.org, and you can complete the mission. And I look forward to it because I tend to eat a lot when it's cold and I'm shut indoors. So this will help me stay healthy and strong. And though my hair, I need to get a lot of barbers to take the white out, but my body will look a few years younger
you need to,
than by age.
You need to take it all off, brother. Don't try to, you know.
I'm a winter baby. I get cold quick.
Yeah, and that's why they make hats, brother. But, you know, when you were talking, I have to talk to you offline. I have a brilliant young lady who is 17. She actually has her own magazine. She has a group of young people. And she's going to send me a proposal because she wants to develop a training program to teach young people how to be tour guides. So that they can learn history, and try to make it an economic development opportunity to do some training and to get their, you know, their license. Because we were going to do that anyway with Anthony Watson, because one of the things that we found out is that even when you have to get a license to be a licensed tour guide, and the study material in the booklet has nothing really about Harlem. So we were going to actually start a program that would help anyone who wants to be a tour guide to learn, you know, what it takes to pass the test, but also to learn about Harlem so that they can become, because we're doing the city within the city, so we're going to look at creating a major tourism initiative. And with these young people, when she told me that, she did a presentation at the Harlem Arts Alliance for her magazine.
Okay.
But she was, you know, close to, I mean, a brilliant young lady, you know. She was trying to get into Brown, but she couldn't do that. So she has a lot of applications. I think she's going to NYU. But when she told me, I thought that was such a good idea. She was saying that she had did something as a volunteer, and she had to learn about different places in Harlem. And she liked the idea of taking people and showing them history and she thought it would be a good idea for people, you know, in that age. Her magazine, I think, of people from, I think, 17 to 25 or 17 to 21. Anyway, that grouping to have them learn about Harlem and be tour guides and get licenses and be part of the tour guide cadre for some of the programs that we're doing. I thought that was a great concept. So when she sends it to me, I'll let you know. But, you know, and to get funding, I think, you know, matter of fact, I love the idea of having young people and elderly people. We did that last December. We had a small program where we had young people work with seniors to learn how to deal with their phones. And, you know, and that interface was a great one. But anyway, my brother, we got about two more minutes. Tell the listeners how they can become members of the Greater Harlem Chamber of Commerce.
There's a few ways. One, you can go to our website, www.greaterharlemchamber.com. And you can join now and sign up and find out about many of our programs and events. Also, you can call the chamber at 212-862-7200. You can ask for Mr. Causey or myself or Mr. Tate, and we can talk you through some of the programming and things that we've done in the last few years. And we can also hear about your thoughts on what type of event or activity or product or service that you may offer the community, such as the young lady that Tony just talked about. And you can join a great list of members, companies, individuals, community-based organizations that are doing things not only in New York, but throughout the country and throughout the world. So please take the time, find out more. Thank you for being listeners of our show, and we look forward to seeing and hearing from you early in February if you want to do something in March. And if you want to call tomorrow, we're there, and we look forward to doing some things with you as we close out January. So thank you all for listening.
Well, Winston, the late Lloyd Williams gave you a nickname that's very appropriate, Mr. Magic, because you seem to be in more than one place at the same time. You know, I was wondering, did you have a clone or something? I don't know how you do all this stuff, Winston. But, you know, that's the nature. Just like with Donna, most of the people who hang with us, they got to have, you know, it's the long run. You know, we're not sprinters. It's a long distance. It's cross country. So you take care, man. Try to be careful, you know, because you know, like me, they say the seniors shouldn't be walking out there. So that was my excuse not to go anyplace. I said, you know, you see what they said on the news? I can't go to the store. They said the seniors are not safe. Of course, my daughter was looking at me and said, yeah, right, okay. But anyway, man, you take care. Thank you. Every last Tuesday in the month, I have the chance to talk with my brother, Winston Majette. Take care, Winston.
You too. Take care, listening audience. Talk to you soon.
Bye.